In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We live in a strange time. I'm sure, almost sure, that every culture has said that since the dawn of time, but we live in such a sensitive time in our day and age. Everyone's always taking offense at something. I don't know, have you noticed this? Every time you turn on the news, someone is offended by something someone else said. It almost seems that sometimes we're just looking for things that offend us, looking for things to be offended by. People love the politically correct game. I was always bad at it. I always stunk at the politically correct game. One, because I just didn't care. And two, because I'm kind of a caveman when it comes to most things. I mean, Hank Jr. might say I am a dinosaur, as it were. Not surprisingly, over the years, people have taken offense at Jesus Christ and His holy church. Why? Because the kingdom of God sets and has a whole new standard for living in this world. A whole new set of morals, of laws, of guidelines that it places higher than any other earthly law or moral or standard. Right? You better believe. And what's the world's response? The Holy Scripture says, and they took offense at Him. They took offense at Jesus and His word. And if they were offended by Him, you better believe that they're going to be offended by you. The people of His own hometown, even. The people of His own hometown take offense at the Lord. I mean, can you just think of that? Can you imagine that? I mean, there are some among us who long to see the face of Jesus Christ, who long to reach out and touch the Savior. And here He is in their midst, in the flesh, and they take offense at Him. They despise Him so much that they're offended by the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. In the first century, most of the known world was ruled by who? You know you're going to be tested this morning. Rome, right? About a third of the world at the height of the Roman Empire was ruled by Rome. So this is the immediate setting that the earliest Christians found themselves in. And one of the things that helped Rome to grow so much was that it was all tolerant of every single religion, every ideal, every moral that came along. If you wanted to worship a rock with a smiley face, then that was just fine with Rome. There was one caveat, though. One caveat. You had to honor the Roman emperor, the Caesar, either equal to or above your God, right? You had to bend the knee to Caesar. Bow down to him as a god, elevating the state as equal to or above whatever set of deities you had. This was, of course, technically a problem for the Jews. But over the years, they kind of let it slide a little bit and just said, well, whatever. And they kind of existed in the Roman culture for a good long while, generations even. But then comes the death of the Messiah. Then comes the death of Jesus and the birth of Christendom, the people to whom Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. And you think that they're going to bow down and bend the knee to Caesar? Absolutely not. They never did. And they never will. It's at this point in history that the Jews really started trying to distinguish themselves, to pull themselves away from those people, those emperor-opposing Jews known as Christians. They didn't want any trouble with Rome. They'd existed for generations alongside of them just fine. And they wanted to continue just blending in, not being seen by anyone else, even though it was pagan and morally corrupt. And it required them to outright break the first commandment. The most important one. And once Rome realized that this was the mentality of the Holy Church, of the Christians, that they wouldn't submit to Rome's way of doing things, it became the policy of the state to abolish them. And they were hunted down, they were crucified, fed to lions, burned alive, made to fight all sorts of beasts in the arena, always ending in death. That was the fate of our earliest brothers and sisters. All for saying no to the way Rome did things. It was conform to our debaucherous culture, conform to the way that we do things, or guess what? Die. Conform or die. Now, this may seem distant to us, right? Somewhat foreign, because Rome was so long ago. But I tell you, the spirit of Rome still exists today. God's people are still persecuted for following the way of Jesus Christ instead of the way of Rome or the way of the world. And the way of Rome is still trying with all of its might to occupy God's holy people, the church. Just as the people in the gospel took offense at Jesus, Christians continue to offend the world. Why? Because we are the ones who raise Christ up to them, who hold up the gospel of Jesus, that they may see it. And because we just won't be assimilated to the world. And you know what? We're crucified for it. We're persecuted for it. And this doesn't surprise the mature Christians. You guys who have been Christians for years now, experienced Christians, because you know the scripture well. You know that this was promised to you. The mature Christian knows what the gospel says today in verse 12, that the church is to go out and proclaim that people should repent. And you've heard this word repent hundreds of times, thousands of times. It's part of your life. It's part of who you are as a Christian. But have you considered what it means when you say that word to someone else? Ooh. Hold the horses, right? To actually go out and proclaim, as the scripture says, go out and proclaim repentance to someone else. Recognizing sin in a person's life, a friend, a family member, someone you love, and then talking to them about it. Ultimately ending up in a place where you say, hey, I love you, come out of it. I love you so much to not let you sink down in that sin. That's hard. That's hard. That's the hardest thing you, as a disciple of Jesus, are called to do. You won't find anything more difficult in the life in Christ. Because proclaiming repentance at the end of the day means telling a person they're wrong. This is the sort of stuff that usually doesn't make a person too popular. I mean, who here likes being told they're wrong? Raise your hand. Who enjoys being told that you're wrong? Not a one. Not a one of us. And rightly so. So many people in America today who claim the name of Jesus, they claim the title Christian, but they don't want him to actually affect a change in their lives. It's like we were talking about in Sunday school this morning. We want to be the Lord over our lives. We want to be the one who decides what's right and wrong. We don't want to submit ourselves underneath any other ruler. Like the first century Jews, we just kind of want to blend in with the culture. Don't rock the boat. Don't make waves. Don't be noticed. Don't do anything that might make us stand out from the rest of this world. Well, here's the thing. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you have to stand out. You are called out of the world to be the light in and to the world. You can't proclaim the gospel of repentance and forgiveness and go unnoticed. It's impossible. You will be persecuted. You will be crucified. I've heard Christians say all sorts of self-serving things throughout my life and throughout my short years in the office of holy ministry. I'm a Christian, but I'm not one of those Christians who's going to tell you how to be. That's not the kind of Christian I am. I'm not going to tell you what you're doing is wrong. I'm not going to call you out of your sin. I'm not my brother's keeper. I'm not that kind of Christian, right? I'm the kind of Christian that sees you sinking down into the abyss and won't even reach out my hand to pull you up out of it because I love you. That's the kind of Christian I am. You don't have to worry about me trying to evangelize or convert you or anything because I'm not that kind of Christian. You don't have to worry about me talking about the hard things like repentance or sin or even Jesus. Because I'm not that kind of Christian. Is that the type of Christian that you want to be? Does Jesus and his suffering and his death mean so little to you that you don't care what he commands us to do? We couldn't even open our mouths and encourage anyone, even our closest friends and family, to repent out of love. If not love for them, love for Jesus Christ. These are such people that are exactly the hypocrites that Jesus exhorts us not to be. Their actions look nothing like the confession of their tongue. And you cannot confess that Jesus is Lord and then act like he is not. The people who do this don't want others to think that they're any different from anyone else out there. They're ashamed of their Lord. They're ashamed of his cross. But why? Because this kind of person is not just concerned with the way of the world. Not just concerned with it. They're preoccupied by it. Preoccupied with it. And not the way of Jesus Christ. They've been occupied by Rome. Occupied by the prince of this world, the dragon of Revelation. Precisely because they have been preoccupied by it and with it. And Rome will drag with it everyone it can straight down to the bowels of hell. The work that you've been called to in the resurrected Lord, of bearing him up, of speaking his gospel on your lips, bearing him in your lives, it is offensive. Make no mistake about that. It is offensive. And so I hope you've offended some people along the way. And I hope you do many, many more. We are offensive. Because in a world that has an insatiable desire to devour both body and soul, we have a duty, an obligation to proclaim the love and mercy of Jesus Christ precisely to those who seek to devour us. This is loving our enemy in the fullest way human beings can. And you can't tell me that that's not hard to do. We are offensive because for 2,000 years we have proclaimed the gospel of God's precious and unending grace. And we are not going to stop anytime soon. God bless you in this. And God cover you in the name of His Son, Jesus. Amen.